welcome to the CoasterGallery.com podcast. It's episode 1201 for March 6th, 2012. That's right, it's time for another test of the new CoasterGallery.com podcast. If you're new to listening to this podcast, and you probably are since we're new making it, let me give you a brief thumbnail description of what we're going to talk about on this episode and some future episodes. Well, it's the CoasterGallery.com podcast, so guess what? We're going to talk about CoasterGallery.com. If you haven't been there, it's a website full of thousands of original roller coaster pictures. I've taken most of them. I'll brag. They're mostly mine. But we cover amusement parks all over the world. We're up to, I think, we've got four continents worth. Haven't covered all the coasters, but we sure are trying. So we hope you check out CoasterGallery.com soon. Because we're also talking about roller coasters, we'll talk a little bit about amusement park news. We're going to have a little bit of that later on in the episode. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about photography. Not necessarily the equipment that you're going to use, but some skills, some techniques, things you can do to improve your pictures, no matter what you're taking, kids, animals, nature, or yeah, even roller coasters. My brother and I are pretty heavy into music, so we're going to have a little bit of musical discussion every once in a while. Not on this episode, but I think next week we'll hit a couple of music picks for you. And who knows what else we're going to do. I'm looking for your input. You can always email me at joel@coastergallery.com. That's Joel, J-O-E-L. Coaster Gallery is all one word, CoasterGallery.com. You can find Coaster Gallery on Facebook. We've got almost 4,000 members there. We just recently added Coaster Gallery to G+. So if you're on Google's social network, look us up there. We're also going to have some show notes and some things online, too, that you'll see some further links to another time. Let me know what you want to hear on this podcast, because it's still pretty dynamic. We're learning. We're looking for some suggestions. So today, we're going to talk briefly about amusement parks, specifically Disney stuff. That's right, Disney. Even more specifically, It's a Small World. There are a bunch of It's a Small World rides. And do you like them? Do you hate them? My brother and I have a little different opinion on that. So let's listen to our interview. Here's the word of warning. We're still working out the kinks in this audio. The audio of the interview, well, for lack of a better word, stinks. But you'll get the gist of it, and next week I promise it'll be even better. So let's listen to Jeff and I argue. So welcome to the first interview on CoasterGallery.com's podcast. My name is Joel Rogers, and I have my brother, Jeff Rogers, coming from Florida. Say hello, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
Unfortunately, Jeff and I sound very similar. We have the family voice, I guess, so it'll be a little confusing, so you might want to identify who you are.
I'm the one with more hair.
That's right, and I'm the one with, actually, I got nothing. I don't know. I have nothing good to say. I've been on almost 600 roller coasters. I got you on that one. You've been on...
You know, I've probably been on 400, so...
I was going to say, no, you're over 300, 350 something, so...
I don't know, but I stopped counting a long time ago.
And you've done some that I have not done. You've been to Tokyo Disney...
I've been to Japan, and I got to go to a couple parks, like Tokyo Disney, which was super cool.
So Tokyo Disney's one of four parks with Small World rides.
Yes.
Do you know where the Small World ride originally
started? Oh, no. I think there's five, because they built one in Hong Kong.
Paris, Hong Kong, Tokyo, California, and Florida. I think you're right.
Yes.
So what's the brief 30-second history of the Small World ride?
Okay, if my memory serves right, it was commissioned by UNICEF, maybe?
Or the
64, 65 World's Fair in New York. And I think it was one of these things that it was incredibly last minute. Like, UNICEF approached Walt Disney, like, less than a year, like 11 months before the opening of the fair. And Disney was, you know, already doing all the other stuff. What was it? Mr. Lincoln, Carousel of Progress, and then the, it was like, Ford Motors Magic Highway or something like that. And, you know, he built it, and here it is, what, we're going to be 50 years pretty soon, and it's still around, and it's in five different countries. And, you know, I don't know if there are any other rides that exist in every Disney resort. I may be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because a lot of them are in, like, four out of the five, but it might be the only one that's in all five.
Could be. I have to look into that. Well, so for the few people that are listening that haven't ridden it,
It's a boat ride that goes past audio animatronic kids singing the infamous It's a Small World theme over and over and over. So you tell me why you like it, and I'll tell you why it drives me insane.
Okay. I like it for probably a couple different reasons. Number one is that it's timeless. I mean, love it or hate it, you got to admit that the thing's timeless. I mean, it's you know.
It's not timeless. They just updated the one in California. They had to put the Aladdin parrots.
That's a symptom of a larger Disney sickness, where they felt the need to monkey with all their stuff. You know, I that is not a specific problem to Small World. You know, I'm happy that they didn't screw with it more than they already did. I mean, it was pretty stylized. But
okay,
anyway,
so you say timeless. I say 50 years old and a little out of date. What else do you like about it?
Well, I like that it is like a lot of the older Disney stuff. It is a standalone, non-intellectual property thing. You know, it's not based on any movie or any character, because some of those old Disney ones have, you know, they still manage to kind of be relevant, maybe. But even
like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, I've never even seen that movie. Who understands?
Peter Pan, all that stuff.
No, those at least are okay movies. Okay, so, you know what? I can't argue that point. Okay. I'll give you that one.
Okay, and because let's think more recently. Okay, so what? I'm going to move out to the Disney Company. They opened Universal Studios, like 20 years ago or so in Florida.
Right.
And what were the attractions? King Kong, timeless movie. Jaws, big, you know, timeless movie. Back to the Future, huge movie. There was the Ghostbusters attraction. All these things. Where are all of those attractions now?
Yeah, most of them are gone.
Yeah, and what are they building today? They're building a Despicable Me ride. Well,
yeah, which wasn't even that good of a movie.
Relevant?
Yeah.
I mean, all this Avatar stuff. I'm not convinced Avatar is going to be relevant in 20, 30 years. Harry Potter, probably. Star Wars, definitely. So, you know, the thing has that. I guess I'm making the timeless argument again.
Okay, so it's timeless. I look back on it and say, it's insulting. It's stereotypes. We're going to go through India, and it's the people flying on the flying carpet, because really that's all India is known for. You go through camels in the desert. I mean, he lumps Africa. It's all of Africa, and it's all these stereotypes. And I just – okay, so here's my argument. Two words, and you know what they are. You know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mariachi penguins.
That's my favorite part of the ride.
And these – what is – mariachi
penguins? You never seen a penguin wearing mariachi hats before?
No, all three that I've been on – I've only been on three. You've probably been on – no, I've only been on two of them, haven't I? Okay, you've been on three. I've been on two. Explain it. There's dancing mariachi penguins.
It defies explanation. No, that's why it's so great.
Oh, that's what drives me nuts. It's a fever dream of all these weird images and freaky kind of cartoony kids. No,
I agree, but I like that.
Yeah, you see.
Okay, and here's the other thing is that, you know, this is one of those rides that the little kids love. The grandparents love, and some people in between love.
No,
a lot of these other rides are so specific. You know, how many grandmas love Mission Space? How many 2-year-olds love Mission Space?
I'll tell you the kind of people that like this ride. They're the people that are dumb enough to dump ashes in it. Have you heard those stories that they have to shut up? People say, oh, when I die, I want you to sprinkle me on the – it's a Small World ride, and people do it. No warning, no preparation, no permission. They just bring grandma and dump her ashes in. These people aren't thinking straight. These are the kind of people that like it. It's crazy.
But you know, that's actually a bigger problem than some other rides. That happens like weekly out in California at the Haunted Mansion. And it's a big problem. They even installed like precautions somehow. I read on a news article about that. But no, it's, you know, I don't think that I would want my ashes dumped in It's a Small World or necessarily any Disney ride.
So the other trivia for you is, you know, as people got, specifically Americans got fatter and fatter, the one, especially in California, would bottom out and get stuck.
That's true. And it's amazing. When they did that, refurbishment a couple of years ago out there in California. I have never seen a company lie so much. They were pressed repeatedly to publicly admit that the whole reason for that rehab was that, you know, Americans have gotten so much more obese in 40-plus years that that thing was getting stuck on a regular basis. And the reason why that one and not the other one is, other than I think maybe the new Hong Kong one, that is in like its own little flume, and the sets are dry. But in the other ones, you know, Florida, Japan, and Europe, it's in a flooded show building, and that thing is floating between tracks. So if you, you know, if you put an elephant in the boat, it's, you know, it's not going to displace that much water. The wheels are just going to roll on the bottom.
Okay,
but
one last
flume just couldn't take it in California.
One last point to argue, the song.
Timeless.
Repetitive.
Sherman, oh, of course it's repetitive.
It's the Sherman, it's a
Sherman Brothers.
Okay. Let's do the lyrics. I know the Sherman Brothers. Now, I love Feed the Birds. That one makes me cry. But Small World makes me cry because it drives me insane. And all the kids in the different languages, come on.
Well, you know, and you got to think, though.
It's
think
a small
how
world.
That was.
It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. It's a small, small world. That's it.
What about the verses?
Okay.
Can you pull me the verses? Let's see if you know the song.
Here's where Jeff wins the argument.
Uh-huh.
It's a world of laughter, a world of tears. It's a world of joy, I think.
I think it's hope.
It's a world of hope and a world of fears. The mountains divide and the oceans are wide. It's a small world after all. He knows it. I quit.
Yeah,
you know what? Jeff wins.
I think
Jeff
you actually had part of one verse and part of another and part of another,
care.
But I give you credit.
All right.
And
so
hey, you know what? My kid got me to pay for the little iPhone app. That's pretty cool.
Wait a minute.
Know,
there's an iPhone app?
It's an iPhone app.
There's an app for everything. What does the iPhone app do?
It's kind of like one of those. I've never actually played it, but I've seen the kids playing it, and it's one of those like interactive storybook things that uses the song. It's pretty cool, and it's, you know, hey, it's another way Disney's made money. Now, before we quit, next year Disney's going to roll out the, right now it's tentatively titled X-Pass. It's their next generation initiative.
RFID chip dealy.
Exactly.
Yeah, and interactive cues and stuff.
All kinds of money, supposedly a substantial amount of money. You can pre-book every aspect of your vacation. You know, get a fast pass that says little Janie needs to get her diaper changed at 2 p.m. in Fantasyland. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. But, like you said, one of the things they're trying to do is make things interactive, and one of the things that's been pushed around a lot is that before your vacation, your kids can go onto the computer, log on, and design their own little Small World character. And then when you ride the ride, the chip they embed under your skin before your vacation registers, and there'll be like, I guess, some hidden LCD screens or something in the ride, and then all of a sudden, look, there's
your kid. Little freaky mutant kid thing.
Yeah. So.
All right. So here's the deal. To be perfectly honest, as much as I'm arguing against it, you know what? I ride it when I'm there.
You like it, don't you?
I wouldn't go that far, but it's kind of tradition. So,
but you know why I like it? Another reason? It is insanely high capacity.
That's right. I've never waited in
days.
Line. Never.
Busiest of days, you're going to be on it in under 15 minutes. It's long, and it's air-conditioned.
It's air-conditioned. It's great. Mm-hmm.
And even the queue, even though it's kind of open to the elements, they pump enough AC into that queue that even when you get in that line, you're feeling good.
Okay, so here's the question for the listeners. What are your thoughts? You could put your comments on the G+ Coaster Gallery pages. The Facebook has nearly 4,000 people on it. Tell me what you like or dislike about it. Does it drive you crazy? Is it something you have to do? We're working on the Coaster Gallery show notes, a little kind of blog type thing. I'm not going to put much in there except show notes, but I think it'll have a comment section. So there's your assignment for this week, folks. If you're listening, tell me yes or no. Who do you agree with, me or Jeff?
And what are you going to give the listener who posts a picture of themselves with the mariachi thing?
Well, you know what? I may have to do that because somewhere deep in the inner recesses of my computer are several family photos. Every time we go there, we have to pose as we go by the mariachi penguin. So that may show up. One other thing, Jeff. I know the audio on this does not sound that great, so we're going to cut it short. You're going to hear more from Jeff in future weeks. But who's the guitar at the beginning and the end of this episode, Jeff?
I guess it's me.
That's right. You haven't heard it yet.
No, I haven't heard it.
So
I'm guessing that's the only reason you'd ask the question.
We're going to talk a lot about music on this podcast, not today, but in future episodes. Jeff's a very talented musician, and he's the intro and the outro music. So thanks, Jeff, for letting me steal your copyrighted content. And,
yeah, thanks for seeking my permission first.
Yeah, no problem. We'll do that before I hit post.
Great. You'll hear from my lawyers.
All right. You'll talk to my bank of lawyers. All right. Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week.
See you later.
Time for a quick photography tip. Flash. When is the best time to use flash in your photos? And I'm sure you think when it's dark. Honestly, that's some of the worst time, because if you have a typical on-camera flash, especially with a point-and-shoot camera, it's out, you're at a restaurant, it's dark, you want to take a picture, it turns on the flash, and what does the picture look like? The person right in front of the camera is really bright, and everything else is a black hole. Well, we'll tell you some ways to fix that. But honestly, that little on-camera flash is best used in the sunshine. This is where I'm sure everybody's going, okay, Joel, you're crazy. Hear me out. The dynamic range of a camera is not as much as your eyes. So the variation between the brightest and the darkest areas that you can see with your eyes is a lot better than the brightest and the darkest areas your camera can see. So if you take a picture in the bright sunshine, the shadows are going to be pretty harsh. So that's when you need to have that little pop-up flash work. Take a picture of somebody in the sunshine, a little bit of fill flash looks great. You don't need anything special. Just turn on that flash. If you've got a digital SLR, pop up, push that little button on the side, pop up that pop-up flash. That's the best use of that little pop-up flash. Fill in those shadows. Get some detail in the photo. Trust me, your pictures will improve a lot. In future podcasts, we're going to talk about off-camera flash, radio poppers, pocket wizards, things experienced people might know a lot about. Novices may have no clue what I'm talking about. Well, listen, I'm going to hold your hand, figuratively at least, and talk you through some skills that you're going to use to improve the look of your photographs. So try it. Go even with your little pocket phone. You got an Android, you got an iPhone. Usually the flash is set on auto. Turn it to on. Take a picture of somebody in the sun with it on, with it off. You might surprise yourself. So that's it. It's a real short podcast. We're going to keep this up about every week, maybe even more frequently if it takes off in popularity. But that's it for today. Stay tuned next week. We're going to talk a little bit more about photography. Jeff and I are going to pick our favorite tunes for the week. We're going to talk about some of the new cameras that were just announced this week. And I'm going to tell you about some of the European parks we've covered in Coaster Gallery. There's 12 Scandinavian parks that I'm working on. About 4 of them are public. I'm publishing the rest as quickly as I can, and you're going to see them here first. So thanks for listening in. Appreciate any feedback you have. Joel@CoasterGallery.com, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye now. End communication. So,
what was the end communication? It was when the Kang and Kodos were Bill Clinton and Bob Dole, right?
That's right. He gives a speech. End communication.